Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlada, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, and we're still in text number 5, 25. Yeah, 24, Warren. That's 25.
Shri Prahlada Vacha. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam.
So I'm just going to read it. We read this yesterday, and this is a more than a 13-page purport. We should be on this for a little while. We'll just read a little of the purport at a time. I'll just read the translation. Prahlada Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person who has acquired complete knowledge. And we're up to the first part of the first process, which is Shravanam. Hearing of the holy name of the Lord, Shravanam, is the beginning of devotional service. Although any one of the nine processes is sufficient, in chronological order, the hearing of the holy name of the Lord is the beginning. Indeed, it is essential. As enunciated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. By chanting the name of the Lord, one is cleansed of the material conception of life, which is due to the dirty modes of material nature. When the dirt is cleansed from the core of one's heart, one can realize the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Thus, by hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one comes to the platform of understanding the personal form of the Lord. After realizing the Lord's form, one can realize the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And when one can understand his transcendental qualities, one can understand the Lord's associates. In this way, a devotee advances further and further towards complete understanding of the Lord as he awakens in realization of the Lord's holy name. Transcendental form and qualities, his paraphernalia and everything pertaining to him. Therefore, the chronological process is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Bhur Vishnu. The same process of chronological understanding holds true in chanting and remembering. When the chanting of the holy name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia is heard from the mouth of a pure devotee, his hearing and chanting are very pleasing. Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the chanting of an artificial devotee or non-devotee. Hearing from the text of Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the most important process of hearing. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of transcendental chanting of the holy name, and therefore the chanting and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendentally full of mellows. The transcendental holy name of the Lord may be heard and chanted according to the attraction of the devotee. One may chant the holy name of Krishna, or may chant the holy name of Lord Ram, or Nrsimhadev, Ramadi, Murti, Shu, Kala, Nime, and Atishtan. The Lord has innumerable forms and names, and devotees may meditate upon a particular form and chant the holy name according to his attraction. The best course is to hear the holy name, form, and so on from a pure devotee, the same standard as oneself. In other words, one who is attached to Krishna should hear from other pure devotees are also attached to Krishna. The same principle applies to devotees attracted by Lord Ram, Lord Nrsimhadev, and other forms of the Lord. Because Krishna is the ultimate form of the Lord, Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam, especially hear about Krishna's name, form, and pastimes from a realized devotee who is particularly attracted by the form of Lord Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, great devotees like Shukadeva Goswami have specifically described Lord Krishna's holy name, form, and qualities. Thus, when he hears about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord, one cannot clearly understand the order, other processes of devotional service. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that one chant the holy name of Krishna, Param Vidayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. If one is fortunate enough to hear from the mouth of a realized devotee, he is very easily successful on the path to devotional service. Therefore, hearing the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord is essential. Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this verse, Tad-bhag-vi-sago janatagla-viplavo yasmin-pratishlokam-avara-yashapi Tad-bhag-vi-sago janatagla-viplavo yasmin-pratishlokam-avara-vatyapi namananyantashi-shankitaniyat shunvanti-gayanti-grinanti-gat-sarava. Verses describing the name, form, and qualities of Ananta, the unlimited Supreme Lord, are able to vanquish all the sinful reactions of the entire world. Therefore, even if such verses are improperly composed, devotees hear them, describe them, and accept them as bona fide and authorized. In this connection, Sridhar Swami has remarked that a pure devotee takes advantage of another pure devotee by trying to hear from him about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord. If there is no such opportunity, he alone chants and hears the Lord's holy name. As mentioned here, everything is contained in the holy name. But in order to realize that, one requires the proper state of the mind, receptivity of the mind. The mind can become more receptive to the holy name. We could be less receptive depending upon our intelligence. And how we develop our intelligence depends upon who we're hearing from, what we're understanding, and what we're doing. Either the mind will become more receptive or less receptive. But hearing gives us an opportunity to feed the intelligence if we use the intelligence in hearing. In other words, intelligence means to see things in the proper perspective. So when we're hearing, we have to try to assimilate the knowledge to see it properly. And therefore, the same philosophy is described in many, many different ways. So eventually we can see it. And then when we see it, we can experience it or feel it with our mind. It's not enough just to see something. We also have to experience it. Seeing is good. It's important to use our intelligence to see something, but then we have to also use our intelligence and our mind in order to experience something. So hearing is the beginning. If one can hear perfectly, then one can also experience perfectly. If one doesn't hear perfectly, then one cannot experience perfectly. And Krishna consciousness is not just a theoretical exercise. It's supposed to be an experience. So, the mind has to be prepared. The mind is generally it's receptive. Therefore, it can be receptive to so many different things, depending on our taste. When I wrote to Śrīla Prabhupāda, I said, Śrīla Prabhupāda, is it right when I'm chanting Hare Krishna, can I just simply remember Krishna's pastimes? And Prabhupāda wrote me back. He said, no, that's not a very good idea. He said, you should just simply chant and hear, and if Krishna's pastimes come automatically, that's very nice, but not that we're artificially trying to remember. In other words, the name of Krishna is sufficient to become Krishna conscious, we don't have to add anything else to it. Just like if Krishna walked into the room and we were reading the Krishna book, we could probably stop reading the Krishna book and say hello to Krishna. Not, we won't fall into Maya if we greet Krishna at the door. Krishna says, hello, anyone there? And he says, sorry, you know, I got to finish reading this book. It's about you. Just like one time I was doing the marathon, Prabhupada marathon, and I was staying in the same room as one of my disciples who was reading books, and he had a picture of me in the room. And he was doing aarti to me in the picture while I was in the room. So if Krishna is there, there's no need to add anything else to Krishna. We can simply pay attention to Krishna. Now, it's not that automatically by paying attention to Krishna, Krishna immediately will surrender to us and reveal his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, and his entourage. But if we don't pay attention to the holy name, Krishna will never actually fully reveal himself to us. Of course, there are 9 different processes. One of them is also meditation. So that's a possible way of also focusing the mind on Krishna, is to meditate. But generally the easier way is to chant and try to chant in such a way is that when we hear the holy name, we think we're chanting sincerely. If we're listening to the holy name, are chanting and we're thinking, how boring or how disturbing, then what do you think Krishna is thinking? If we don't like the way we're chanting, what do you think Krishna is thinking? So we should try to chant in such a way as that to us, it appears that we're being sincere. It's more likely Krishna will think we're sincere if at least we're thinking we're trying to become sincere. And if we hear about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then the result is we might remember something about Krishna. Or we're worshiping the deities, for instance. We're seeing the deities. Then it's much more likely when we hear the deity's name, we might remember the deity. Just like when I grew up, there was only 2 channels that I had on television. Could you imagine that? Back in the dinosaur ages. And therefore, whatever television program was on was immensely popular. And they used to have a program called the Mickey Mouse Club. You heard of the Mickey Mouse Club? Anyone here is a card-carrying member of the Mickey Mouse Club? I never joined. I don't even know if you could join. So, they chant. Everyone is always chanting, so they had their mantra also. I don't know if it's a mantra, but anyhow, they had their chant. M-O-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-C. Mickey Mouse. And then there is another, like Radharani has her side, and Chandravali has her side. So there was the Donald Duck section of the Mickey Mouse Club. So they chant Mickey Mouse, and the other side would chant Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck. They both lost, by the way. Probably most of them are either ducks or mice. But when people were chanting Mickey Mouse, Hare Krishna, they naturally remember either a mouse or a duck. They didn't have to have instructions on how to remember the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Mickey Mouse. They'd automatically appear in their heart, along probably with their associates. Anyone remember what Mickey Mouse's consort name is? Minnie Mouse. See how quickly we... Such is the power of learning something in childhood. time of death. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck. So we can remember the name of a mouse with such spontaneity and with such absorption. Surely we can, when we chant Krishna's name, there's a possibility we might remember what Krishna looks like. Because he does have a form. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the holy name is not just a collection of letters of the alphabet. It's actually Krishna. But if we're chanting it as if they're the letters of the alphabet, and that's it, then that's what we'll get, is simply letters of the alphabet. Maybe simply a little bit more, because you can't chant Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck for too long. You can try it. If you're a little devoted, you might be able to make it for half an hour. But beyond that, 16 rounds of Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, probably for 2 hours, would probably be rather strenuous. But the holy name of Krishna is transcendental. And therefore, we can chant it, and it's nitya nitya nava nava yovana, which means it's ever fresh. It's always fresh. But depending upon our receptivity of the mind. Now, why does the mind wander? Because we have some idea that something else is more pleasing than the holy name. Pleasing is that in the material concept of life, people have two ideas. Either trying to get something positive to experience or try to avoid negative experiences. Now in Kali Yuga, negative experiences are quite prominent. So when we're chanting, we might be in anxiety, what's going to happen? We don't have to worry about what's going to happen because everyone knows what's going to happen. Everyone's going to have to leave their body, either today or tomorrow. You don't have to worry about it. It's a fact. But in the meantime, we don't want to suffer, and therefore we try to figure out, what do I have to do to avoid my suffering? And what can I do for something positive, for happiness, for some kind of experience which I consider pleasant? So this is what the mind wanders on. Now, if we're not convinced that the holy name can actually help us avoid all problems and give us some positive experience, then we have to keep on studying Srimad Bhagavatam and keep on chanting. Now one thing, by paying attention to the holy name, will help us, we'll be able to get free from all the anxiety of not paying attention to the holy name. In other words, if we actually pay attention to the holy name, then the result is we'll forget about our hankering and lamenting. And we'll forget about how we see everyone as either a friend or enemy. Srin mitya udasinama dyastidveshu pandishu sudushva pitapapeshu samabhudhira vishishate. Well, actually, it's jnana vigana chiptatma kutastra vijitendriya yukti chite yogi samulostrasma kankshana. Person who's said to be situated in trance, jnana, vigyana, triptatma. Triptatma means satisfied. A person is said to be situated in transcendence and is satisfied when he sees, in other words, there is theoretical knowledge, jnana, and vigyana. So a person is said to have acquired both theoretical and realized knowledge and is said to be satisfied with those things. At such a stage, he's able to see pebbles, stones, and gold as equal. Not that pebbles, stones, and gold are equal, but for the transcendentalist, it doesn't really matter for him because he has Krishna, which is more valuable than pebbles, stones, or gold. Although intrinsically in this material world, in this temporary material world, obviously gold is relatively more important than stones. So we don't reject, we're not impersonalists, but we understand that ultimately pebbles, stones, and gold are all meant to help us realize Krishna. And if we realize Krishna, we reach the goal. Now to help others reach the goal, we probably need some gold to organize the Sankirtan movement. We don't need it, but it helps. But above that, Srin Midyam Dasyanama Dyasudvesha Bandishu. A person is said to be further advanced when he sees everyone, the honest well-wisher, Srin Midya Udasina, the friend, the enemies, the indifferent, the impartial, those who are mediators, those who are sinful and those who are pious. He sees them all with an equal mind. So our problem is we see everyone differently. Of course, everyone is different. Everyone has, spiritually they're different, materially they're different, but we see them according to how they interact with our feelings. So in that sense, it's all illusion, because our actual feelings is supposed to be Krishna conscious. But because we see things in relation to our body and others in relation to their body, we are see things, others in relation to whether they're pleasing to us or displeasing to our body and mind. So this is a distraction when we're chanting Hare Krishna. It's not that there aren't people who are friends to us, relatively, and who aren't enemies to us, but it's irrelevant when we're chanting. It's not the time to figure out who's our friend and enemy. It's not the time to make all kinds of plans, what our future is going to be, and lament of how we couldn't achieve what we wanted to do in the past. These things are irrelevant when we're chanting. Chanting is supposed to get us out of the material existence, not help us become more absorbed in it. Because when we're chanting, we're actually trying to pay attention, unlike most of the day where people are just spaced out. We're actually making an effort. And if we take that effort and we apply it to our mundane existence, the result is that instead of making spiritual advancement, we actually become degraded. We start watering the weeds that are coming up rather than watering the plant of devotion. Therefore, there are three stages of chanting, Nama Parad, Nama Vas, and Shuddha Nam. And it goes on to Bhava Nam and Prema Nam. In any case, we have to become conscious whether we're chanting offensively or with at least clearing stage, Nama Parad, Nama Vas. Because if we don't, then we won't, not only we won't make advancement, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija, was Bahu Janmas Shravanam Kirtana, Bahu, how does that go? Kirtana. Yes, if one chants the holy name with offenses, even if he does it for millions of years, he won't get love of God, which is the goal of this chanting. So we have to pay attention. That's first thing, the 11th offense, pay attention. We have to see if we're paying attention. Now it helps if we're actually chanting sincerely, because then there's something to pay attention to. Now if we're chanting, oh, Hare Krishna, I'm so suffering, Krishna, and you know, after a while we'll think, my God, this chanting is really making me depressed. I was happy before I started to chant, now I'm chanting, listening to myself, thinking, I didn't realize how much I was suffering until I started to chant. Or we chant in so many different distracted, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. I think, my God, this thing is, what a waste of time, this chanting. It has no effect, and it sounds like, you know, I'm a machine gun. So we actually have to chant sincerely, then there's something to listen to. And if we're actually chanting to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, there's practically 100% chance that we're actually going to remember who they are. And if we remember who they are, there's very good chance we'll remember what they look like. And if we remember what they look like, then we can actually remember something about Krishna consciousness and try to feel their presence. Of course, if we're chanting their name, we should also try to feel their presence. But by feeling their presence and by chanting sincerely, remembering to them, calling to the Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage us in their loving service, so it's good to try to chant lovingly, because devotional service is absolute. If we're chanting inattentively, then that's the service we're rendering, inattentive service. But devotional service is supposed to be done with care and attention. And if it's done with care and attention, then the result is that we're much more likely to remember and experience Krishna. And that's called Krishna consciousness to different degrees. Otherwise, if we're not experiencing Krishna, then what are we in? What do they call that? Maya. Only one person knows that. Imagine how covered we are. We don't even know where we are, what we're in. Yeah, so it's supposed to be a simple process, but because of our long conditioning and our taste for material existence, therefore becoming distracted is very easy. So Krishna knows that. He never said it was easy. The process, in one sense, is easy, but the executing it, I mean, the process itself, anyone can do, but to actually do it properly requires a lot of training and a lot of experience, a lot of practice. Therefore, Krishna says, Bhudya Vishuddhya Yukto Chitatmana Niyamyacha Shabda Din Vishuddhya. Oh, that's the wrong one. What does Krishna say? The verse before, Yato Yato Nishchalati Shanai Shanaru Paramed Buddha Drita Grihitaya Atma Samstamana Kridva Na Kinchit Apichintaya. Actually, before that, Krishna goes through a whole thing about the perfect yogi who's able to meditate upon him because he's not distracted anymore. There's so many different thoughts. And then he says, Sanischayena Yuktavyo Yoga Niravina Chetasa Sankalpa Prabhavankarmans Tyaksvasara Masheshataha Manaksavendriya Kraman Vinayamya Samantata. One should begin the practice of yoga with undeviated determination and faith. One should control the senses and all sides by the mind, and thus think of the self alone. Next to that. Control all the senses on all sides by the mind, and thus one should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses and all sides by the mind. So it takes determination. That determination is developed by getting free from material desires, regulating our senses, and not following our senses. As we follow our senses and we serve them without Krishna consciousness, then the result is we lose our determination because we lose our intelligence. And when we lose our intelligence and we do material activities and we get deeper and deeper into material experience rather than spiritual experience. So we don't have any taste in spiritual experience in Krishna consciousness, then we lose our determination to practice because we think it's a waste of time. So determination is obtained by experiencing Krishna consciousness, by properly practicing. Sanischayena yuktavya yoga niravena chetasa sankalpa bravan karma. So one has to control the senses, the mind especially, by fixing on Krishna. And what is that? Shanai shanaru paramed buddhya drita grihitaya Atma samstamana kritva na kinchit api chintayat. So buddhya vishuddhi, shanai shanar, wherever the mind wanders, that's the next one. Gradually, step by step, with full conviction, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained with full conviction, and this mind should think of the self alone and nothing else. So it's a gradual process, Krishna says. Shinai Shinara. Uparamet. To fix the mind upon Krishna. Buddhya. So it requires a different number of things we have to become aware of. One of them is buddhi, intelligence. And the other is driti, determination. And the other is mana, the mind. So we have intelligence, we have the mind, but we have to develop also determination. We have to develop the intelligence and the determination that our mind will become fixed in Krishna consciousness. So therefore hearing is the beginning, because hearing is the way of feeding our intelligence with the conceptions that are being presented to us. Hearing is the basis of either becoming conditioned by material life, by hearing how glorious is sense gratification, or hearing how glorious is Krishna consciousness. Now, if you hear about the glories of sense gratification, it means you have to do something also. Just like now they're going to come out, I can't keep up with the iPhones. I'm way behind. I'm like 6 years behind. Even my battery doesn't work anymore. But anyhow, they must be, what is it, iPhone 12 now they're coming out? Anyhow, something like that, it's up there. So you hear the glories of iPhone 12. They don't tell you how it's tracking your every breath, but that they won't tell you. It takes your heartbeat. And then people become determined, you know, what's that? It's coming out this year. So they hear about how glorious it's going to be. I don't know what it does for you. If it doesn't cook my breakfast, it's not a big improvement for me. So they hear about the glory, but then they have to get the money and they have to find out how to buy the thing. It's not just hearing the glories. But unless you hear the glories, then you're never going to buy it. People just don't, you know, walk down the Ljubljana street going to the downtown. They somehow or another wander into a place and they buy something. They don't know what they buy. No, they have to hear the glories, and that gives us the inspiration and the determination to do what's necessary to get it. So they can relish it. They can experience its name, form, quality, and its pastimes. So hearing the glories of material objects also necessitates also remembering what they are, fixing them, and then with determination trying to achieve them. So hearing about the glories of Krishna is the same thing. We have to hear in such a way as that we remember what we're hearing, experience what we hear, and become determined to obtain the object, which is Krishna. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is the glories of Krishna in so many different ways. Everything is the glories of Krishna in this world. So then we can develop, if we hear properly and hear the glories of Krishna, then we can develop the perspective on who Krishna is, etc., and we develop the determination, we can actually experience Krishna by using our intelligence to fix the mind upon Krishna, his name, form, quality, and pastimes, and do what's necessary. Shinaya Shinara Paramat Buddhya Drita Grihita Atma Samstamana Kritva Na Kinchit Api Chintaya, and try to give up the things that deviate our mind from Krishna. Because that's the way the material world works. Now, for the materialist, they just go from one object of the senses to the next, so it's not a big thing for them. There's not a big difference, usually. They eat this, and then they taste that, and whatever. Chew on this phone for a while, chew on that phone for a while. But for the devotee, there's a difference. Either we're fixing the mind upon Krishna, we're advancing towards self-realization, or the mind's deviating from Krishna, and then we forget about self-realization. That's why one moment we can be in ecstasy, and when we get puffed up, or a little proud, or deviant, or our mind becomes attracted to something else, we can completely forget about the ecstasy we're experiencing 5 minutes before, and become madly in love with some man or woman, thinking that that's the goal of my life now. Because it's going to where the mind's at, where the attention goes, the energy is going to flow. But with determination, yato yato nischalati manakchanchalam astiram tatastatam niyamyata atmanyeva shamniyat. Wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and steady nature, one should withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So intelligence, We have to develop our intelligence to see, where is my mind right now? Where is my energy going? What's my future if I go in this direction? And then bring it back to Krishna again. Bring it back to devotional service. Bring it back. No matter where the mind had gone to, bring it back again back to Krishna. So that's an opportunity, especially when we're chanting, to see, become conscious where my mind is going and how to bring it back to Krishna. Because during the day, it's a lot more difficult, unless you're doing something like book distribution, where you're getting constant feedback from people. Because when the mind wanders, then you'll never sell a book. Unless you can have the power of attention yourself, people are not going to listen to you. Their minds will wander too. And unless you're fixed on selling the book, you can go on talking to people. Everyone has the experience. You're talking to someone, telling the glories of this book for half an hour, and afterwards you ask them for a donation. They say, "Oh, I'm not interested. I heard enough." So unless one is going to a fixed presenting Krishna consciousness in the form of this book, then the result is that one can actually sell books. Could you imagine talking to someone for half an hour trying to sell them the book? And then they say, "Oh, well, I think I understand enough. That's all I want. Thank you very much." There's a lot of frustration if you actually want to sell the book. If you want to talk to people, it's a good opportunity to go out. Just talk to people. But if you want to sell books, then you have to know when is the proper time to ask people for a donation to take the book with them. So one has to fix the mind and on Krishna as a servant of Krishna, and then one can actually get feedback, because if one doesn't do that, if one is not fixed in the determination, then one won't sell anything. As a matter of fact, one won't even be able to talk to people, because practically no one's going to stop. So you can get feedback whether we're fixed in our objective or not. But when we're chanting, it's another feedback also. If our mind's wandering, then it's an opportunity to bring it back again. And if we don't try and bring it back again, then it'll keep on wandering. And it'll start thinking about one thing, and eventually we'll be, there with Yamaraj. The Yamadutas won't even want to get near us. So it's not that if we let our minds go, they're going to bring us to the spiritual world. No, they're going to bring us down to the lowest place they can. Whatever the lowest place in our memory is, that's where it's going to bring us, eventually. By association, one thing will learn to lead to the next. And if we try to fix the mind here and chant sincerely, following the instructions for chanting, then gradually we can see if we're doing the right thing, because we can feel Krishna, we can remember his forms, his qualities, his paraphernalia, his associates, his pastimes. That's called progress. Then we're actually progressing in hearing and chanting. Otherwise, if we're not progressing in hearing and chanting, then naturally we'll lose the we won't develop a taste for Krishna, then we'll have to go back to our material association again. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? It's right there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This purport also glorified hearing and chanting, and one form of hearing is reading the books. And sometimes Vaisheshika Prabhu does this experiment with asking, how many years have you been in Krishna consciousness and have you completed the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita? And it's quite embarrassing that many don't or haven't. So why is it that a person continues, what is this phenomenon that a person can continue some kind of practice for 20 years and still not complete the Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Because it doesn't really matter if you complete it or not. It depends how much attention you pay to whatever in Krishna consciousness. Krishna is just chanting Hare Krishna once is sufficient to go back to the spiritual world. But Krishna has manifested himself in these books, in the form of his name, form, quality, and pastimes, etc. These books are also non-different. So one can read, one can go on reading for millions of years, and if he doesn't pay attention, he's also not going to get love of God either. It's a question of how much we're going to actually assimilate, pay attention to even one word, even one letter. You can go on reading, if you don't go back and meditate on what you've read, you'll never find out if you ever paid attention to it. So one who has actually paid attention, after reading, he can repeat word for word whatever he heard. And if he can't do that, at least he should be able to repeat what was said. And what does it mean to oneself? What does it mean practically? How does I apply this personally in my life? And if one comes to that platform understanding how to apply, if he applies it personally in his life or her life and gets the experience of what it's talking about, then one will become interested in going back and reading again, hearing some more, make some more progress. But if one doesn't know how to read to achieve experience, one can go on reading, it's just boring. All kind of same thing. Oh, unite this body. Krishna is God, etc., etc. Then, therefore, people just jump. Oh, what do I have to read all this nonsense for? I can just jump to the 10th canto. It's more interesting. There is Krishna. There is the bushes. There is the gopis. Well, it sounds more practical. It's something more I'm familiar with. I can apply in my own life. So it's a question of learning how to read, also, not just reading, knowing how to read. How to chant, how to worship the deities, how to serve the devotees, how to make the atmosphere spiritual. It's not enough just to do it, we have to know how to do it. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantarashi Madhbhagavatam Kidai.